town as a repeat guest, a fellow that I have a lot of respect for. He's a commercial real estate retail expert. He's with the ICSC.org as a member, and I give you Tim Mack.
Hey, good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm great. Very nice to hear from you. And tell the folks what you do in a daily life and how many kids you have and how you mix up a busy commission, busy business life.
That's a loaded question. So I've been a commercial broker for about 33 years.
Oof.
And I'm from Cromwell, Connecticut. I live in West Hartford with my wife, Maria, and our four kids. And but I've been a broker representing retailers most of that 33 years. So I handle, you can't make a living in just one town when you do retail work. So I cover all the way from the Bronx Yonkers line through upstate New York and then all the way through New England. Now, I'm not in Maine or Buffalo every week, but it depends on where my clients require me to be. And I go out and find them locations, negotiate the deals, and live off of those commissions. And that's how I try to put bread on the table.
Do you have a car that's good on gas?
I have a car that's awful on gas. I went to an SUV a few years ago because I realized if you're taking three clients around, that you need something big that they can look at. They need to be up high, but it cost me a fortune in gas. So the next car I get is going to be a Tesla or a Ford. It's going to be electric. And if I go on a big tour, Tom, I'm going to rent an SUV.
I love it. Brokers are so creative. And I run into you at the International Council of Shopping Center shows. Give us 30 seconds on that before we talk about Sears at the Brass Mill Center in Waterbury.
Yeah, well, number one, I just found out yesterday that they've had my email address wrong in the ICSC directory for years. So maybe that's why I don't get enough emails from anybody. But I do get tons. But I've been part of ICSC for my whole career. And what that is an organization where it facilitates the meeting. Basically, it's relationship building between brokers, retailers, landlords, developers, anybody in that business. So what we do is we have conventions a few times a year. We have a giant one in Las Vegas every May. And it's really, you go there with the idea that you're going to pick up business and do deals. But for me, it's been the better part of that has been you make relationships and you actually become friends with a lot of people in your business. And it's a lot easier to pick up the phone and somebody's either going to take your phone call or you're going to take theirs once you get to know them. And you actually get to know people on a personal basis. So I have found it to be very helpful.
ICSC.org if anybody wants to check them out. So let's whip over to, what would it be, Route 69? In between Wilkett Street and Hamilton Avenue to the Brass Mill Center. And let's talk about the Sears store that's closed and what you're doing over there.
Yeah, well, this is so I got a call about a year and a half ago from a group out of Texas that was working closely with Sears, and they wanted an evaluation of all the Sears that they were thinking of closing, Brass Mill and Meriden being examples of that. So what I had to do was come up with an opinion of value of what I thought those boxes were worth. Again, that's both the department store and then the freestanding auto centers in the parking lot. Lo and behold, we didn't get the assignment. Nobody really got the assignment. They had continued on with the bankruptcy, and Eddie Lampert, who has retrieved, or I'm not exactly sure how this worked, Tom, but Eddie Lampert, who is a big stakeholder in Sears, now controls them. I've had offers. Let's go to Meriden, for instance. I've had offers on the auto center building, but haven't been able to move them forward, and I can't give you a good reason why. On Waterbury, and I guess I could give you a good reason why, because if I dovetail this into Waterbury, I have someone who's interested in buying the auto center in Waterbury. Part of the problem that I've been told, even though we have a healthy offering on it, is that these properties are all cross-collateralized with other properties, and you've got lenders involved. So extricating a acre-and-a-half parcel out of the parking lot, even though it looks like it's a separate piece, is cross-collateralized or tied to the main department store building by way of financing, so that it's really difficult to peel it off.
Would the term defeasement help at all on that kind of problem?
I don't know if it does or doesn't, but just for the listeners, it's an example like if you were to own your home and you decided you want to sell your backyard to somebody else. It's probably difficult to separate that out because you've got a mortgage, you've got insurance, you have a survey that says what you own. This, we're trying to peel that backyard off, and the lender is saying, you know, that's nice, but that's not the way we're doing it. So we've had a deal we've been negotiating since probably last July, and it's just sitting there because we can't seem to get the lenders to figure out how to separate them.
Well, Tim,
I think the community suffers because you continue to have empty buildings, and instead of business being generated and taxes being generated and jobs, the property sits
empty.
Shallow. Yeah.
Yeah, no go. Maybe the existing lender can give the loan to the new guy, and that'll solve the problem.
If only it was that easy. You and I ran the world. Maybe that's the way it would work.
Well, let's hope we're doing it in the next phase. So Tell us a little bit more about the big Sears box and how you're handling that. What's that, a couple 100,000 square feet on the west end of the Brass Mill Center?
Yeah, Tom, and you know, honestly, I don't have a formal listing on that. So I don't even have a sign in the window because what happened, again, was the Texas group that brought us into that agreement was unable to make an agreement with the Sears, with the folks who own the property, to bring those formally to market. So I've put my package together. I've got a brochure. I've got the whole thing. I did have a lot of calls in the beginning when the word was getting out. I had a lot of guys. You're not classic retailers. It's not as if Boscov's wanted that box.
Right.
I had more guys that were like self-storage, wanted to take the box and convert it into self-storage. That's not necessarily something that the REA, that means reciprocal easement agreement. That's an agreement that the different anchors and the mall owners have with each other as to what can and can't be done in the property. Now, I don't know that self-storage was specifically restricted, but I don't think that's the best thing for Waterbury either, but that's just my opinion.
Well, the customers are out looking for spots, and that's what happens. We're talking to Tim McNamara, who's an expert retail broker with Sullivan Hayes. Where are you guys, over in Farmington?
We're in Farmington, yeah.
So I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, let's not just say Waterbury. Let's say you're working on two or three or four of these dark, vacant Sears boxes. Let's tell us a little bit about, without giving names, maybe what some of your strategies are that people might enjoy seeing new retailers in their marketplace. We'll be right back with Tim Mack. So let's talk about these big boxes like Sears and different malls and what kind of strategies you might have for trying to get those reoccupied.
You know what, Tom? That's a tough question. You know, years past, you would have gone after the big boxes. You know, there are the possibilities of getting those boxes and breaking them up into smaller things. Like you see some malls being successful in bringing in bigger operators like Christmas tree shops and Hobby Lobby and things like that. I think that's probably the best option for a lot of these. But that really takes the owner of the Sears willing and ready to go out and do that and to bring it to market. My sense is that they're kind of a little bit over their head. They've got so many of these, but that's usually the best scenario. If I was the hired broker for it, I think I'd have to get creative. So if you go down the road of trying to lease it historically to regular retailers, if not, you've got to do things that they've done in other parts of the country. I saw something on 60 Minutes where they converted, or actually CBS this morning, where they converted an old mall which was in an Hispanic area, into really a almost like a Fiesta marketplace, where they took the mall and the anchors and they converted them into ethnic grocery stores, entertainment concepts, clothing stores. But that shopping center was surrounded by a large Hispanic community. Those are things that can work. There are design centers in the country. You know, the popularity of home design shows. You could, if you've got the right operators and you can do it on the right type of budget, you could bring in antique dealers. You can bring in furniture dealers. You can bring in guys who don't necessarily have their own brick and mortar stores and set up vignettes inside of that and make it a design center. I know when my wife watches those shows, you see these huge warehouses of places in different parts of the country, and people go in and there's all kinds of things you can buy for your home, whether it be furniture or kitchen equipment or something like that,
right,
all under one roof. You need the person who's willing to run that and handle the minutia of organizing different individual leases. But I think that might be one of the ways we can save and to be creative in reestablishing these malls and these footprints.
Well, certainly bring a lot of new customers to the mall, and it's a fun type of entertainment use. So, Tim McNamara's retail broker, you said you're working a lot of states here. What are you doing to make a buck? What kind of clients are you working with, and what's exciting?
I'm lucky, Tom. I've got a couple of good clients that I've had for a long time on kind of different ends of the spectrum. So one of my clients on the grocery store business is Aldi. We've got a couple of those in Waterbury, which are really great performers for the country, for the company. I handle Aldi down into Westchester County, up into Hudson Valley, and then the rest of New England. So we've got we open probably five stores a year, and we're the 20,000 square foot range, so I'm busy with those folks. On the opposite end of the spectrum, and something that people think is a little more specialized, I do all the Starbucks work. We've got one on the west side of Waterbury that does way over projection. I think the market in Waterbury was a little starved for something nice like that. We're looking for a second opportunity closer to the highway in Waterbury, and we're anxious to make that deal happen. I can't tell you where it is yet, but we're anxious to get that going because we think really Waterbury is a great, great customer base for that. And I cover them throughout Connecticut and New York, and that gives me plenty of work. I do the work for Chase Bank, who's coming into the New Haven and Hartford County. We've probably got 11 deals done with them over the past 3 years, but none of those were easy. And I continue to work with Firestone, LA Fitness. Those are my primary guys. I've got a couple other organizations like Sola Salons that we do a few deals here and there. Those are this concept where you take a larger space and the franchisee builds it out, and he actually builds individual salons within one larger box and then leases those out to the best haircutters in the market. So you can't really walk in. If you needed a haircut, I don't need it too often, Tom, because I'm bald. Huh. But if you need a haircut, you don't walk in and just say, I'd like to have Susie cut my hair. Everything's done on an appointment basis, and it's usually all with established hairstylists. So that's kind of an exciting concept. I do some work for Fidelity Investments, and there's not a whole lot to do there. That's more maintaining and doing relocations if we need them. And then I've got a big tour with a company. One of my most exciting clients is called REI, which stands for Recreational Equipment Incorporated. And I handle them throughout New England. I'm picking somebody up in Boston on Tuesday, and we're going to tour through Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine.
John. Okay, I can't get the phone. Sorry, we have new phones here, and I haven't learned to use them yet, but there's someone asking about a Christmas tree shop. They're going to come in and, Johnny, just come right up to the mic. We got Tim Mack. Please ask the question right here for this caller.
Oh, you want to put him on?
If you can stay here and take him off. Yeah, stay there, Chris. We got a little tech issue here. Caller, you're on Talk of the Town. Welcome. Go with your question.
Hey, Tom. Yeah, what's the likelihood of getting a Christmas tree shop up here in Waterbury?
Tim?
You know, I wish I could answer that, sir. I don't represent those folks, and I've never gone after them. So Christmas tree shops have their own real estate department, their own real estate brokers. They make their decision where to go. I think the closest Christmas tree shops is probably Manchester, Connecticut, and then down in
Danbury.
In Danbury, and then down in New Haven. So, yeah, there's probably a hole. So I don't know the likelihood. I think it's a market that they should take a look at, but they are not my client.
And I called them and talked to them about it. They're just not ready for Waterbury yet. They won't. They can't afford to pay rent on new ground because I have the old Walmart site out on East Main Street. And, you know, they're looking for something existing. So if somebody knows the Sears people, and you can bet the Sears people were talking to them, but they sell discount merchandise, so they don't want to spend a lot for rent, which Tim would know. But, Tim, I got to you, and you got this guest spot, and thanks for coming on today because I called you about a Starbucks location in Torrington. One thing I got to say about Starbucks, people say to me they're expensive, but when you go in there, you're paying for the atmosphere, the beautiful place to hang out, and all the people that come in and out of there. So, you know, you're paying to play when you go in Starbucks, and I like it.
And, Tom, you know what the difference is? If you're going to go buy a cup of coffee and you're going into Dunkin', you know, very well liked in New England, you're not going to get out of there without having broken $2 bills, right?
Yep.
You go into a Starbucks, it's just, I think with tax, it's a tall is about $2.07. You're getting a premium cup of coffee. You're paying a little bit more for it. But, you know, it's funny what people will think is expensive, right? They might pay now $12 for a pack of cigarettes, which used to be a buck when I was a kid.
Good point.
When everybody smoked, right? But they don't want to pay the extra 35 cents or 25 cents for a cup of Starbucks. That doesn't make that much sense to me. But maybe, you know, it might be that the taste of Starbucks is not for everybody, but it's really a better bean, a better product, a better feeling when you're inside of a Starbucks. But look it, there are different strokes for different folks. But I think we do a good job, Starbucks does, even working our way into less affluent communities. We provide, everybody likes a little treat. Right?
True.
Who doesn't deserve a treat once? Today's my birthday time. You know what I did? I went to Starbucks and got a cup of coffee. I don't buy one every morning because that to me is a treat, right? So I love their coffee, and I went and got one. I'm like, I'll treat myself because I got to go put an eight-hour day in anyway. But I just, you know, I like the experience.
Happy birthday to you. I know you're not the youngest of guys. I won't ask you your age, but, man, you are full of zest. What do you do to keep your energy up? Are you exercise? Do you watch Bravo? What's your thing?
I keep in shape because I worry a lot, so I burn up a lot of calories worrying. I swear to God, I think that's part of my problem. No, you know, I exercise regularly. I don't smoke anymore. I try to eat right. I have four kids. I have a 19-year-old, a 17-year-old, a 15-year-old, and a 13-year-old. They keep me pretty busy, although they don't need me as much as they used to. And I work a lot, Tom. And I have a great wife, and I've got a good relationship there. So I'm lucky in a lot of ways, but you got to have some balance. And for me, it's difficult to find that balance sometimes because you and I both work on commission. And if you don't make a deal and you have a bad day at work, it's not like we still get a paycheck or we still get our benefits paid. You got to go out and hunt something the next day or you don't eat or you don't retire.
Doesn't sound to me like, though, that you're going to change. It sounds to me like this is your thing and you're going to keep doing it.
I am what I am, I guess. Yeah. Yep.
So Tim Mack, a retail broker involved in the International Council of Shopping Centers and with many tenants that he's mentioned, Aldi's, Starbucks, that's why I called them. What is the online business and the gorilla at Amazon and Walmart's internet business? What has that done to your retailers, and how, as a broker, are you working to stay in business and not get knocked off by the online sales?
I'll give you an example of how that affects right down to Christmas season. My wife does a lot of her shopping online, and I say, Marie, what the hell are you doing?
I love it.
You're putting us out of business. You can't argue against the convenience of shopping online. I get it. Most of the retailers I represent we have groceries. People still go to the store for groceries. People still go for coffee. People still go to the bank. I'm fairly lucky. I don't have a whole lot of fashion guys, but most of them are tooling back. One of my best clients is REI. They had to compete online in order to stay relevant, and they do that. But they change what they offer in their stores. They might have less product, or they're trying to be more experiential. Right? You go into an REI, and let's say you've never snowshoed. This is not a good year for it, but you might rent some snowshoes and try them out, or try their skis, or try their camping equipment. Come back and buy it. But they're doing more and more things to get the people off of their couches and into their stores. And I know people are worried about different things with the virus going around. Look, none of that's going to last forever. And I think people at the end of the day still want to look. If you have any self-respect, you're going to get off of the couch once in a while, right? And whether that's going to the mall or to the grocery store or anywhere, you want to get out and feel things, because I think what we do, and I say this to my kids, but they don't necessarily listen, the more you spend with your phone in your hand and are on your computer, and the more you think that you're socializing or making connections, you're really not. So you've got to get away from that sometimes. And even if it's in a store and you're around other people, that's better than being in isolation. So I'm a big proponent of getting out and supporting the stores. And nobody wants to see I'll give you an example of something else. Nobody wants to see a store go out of their community, right? There's a kosher market in West Hartford, Connecticut. It's a great market. when they had problems a few years ago and everybody said it was going to go out of business, everybody lamented the problems. Oh my God, nothing stays in business anymore. And I heard it from the Jewish community that supported them. They said, or didn't support them, and said, you know what, this is our fault. We went to other places to shop. We didn't support them, and now they're talking about going out of business. It's our fault for not supporting it. So if we don't want to see dark stores all over the place, and we want our communities to be vibrant, you've got to get out and support them. That's all the way from the little store in the downtown Waterbury to the places at the mall. You've got to get out there and support them. It's really a team effort as far as the overall retail landscape and the economy is concerned.
Well said. Tim McNamara, you got 1 minute to wrap it up. Tell the folks how to get a hold of you and a little commercial for you, because it's very nice of you to come on today.
Wow, I'm prepared for that, Tom. But my name is Tim McNamara. I am at Sullivan Hayes Commercial Real Estate. We're called Sullivan Hayes Northeast. You can find us on the web at www.sullivanhayesne. That stands for northeast.com. And we're here to help you if you have retail property that you need leased, you're a retailer or a mom and pop that's starting up, or a chain, and you want some help understanding the market, or you just need some consultation. We're happy to speak with you. And Tom, it's been a great pleasure talking to you. You made my birthday, buddy.